down.
Yes. If I could get the guitar lick right, we'd be starting the show. I think there. Now I'm back on pattern. All right. Fishing report for you. We're going to do the walk around the harbor with Robert. And I think... Okay, that's good. Right, let's see. I guess we're here.
Theoretically.
Radio fishing.
Nice.
No, I don't know. I have no idea where my brain's been. I've been sick all week, so. You know, poor little me's sick. Yes, I'm a sick son of a gun here.
Multiple ways.
Yes. Yes, I know. It just keeps getting different. Been up to see my dad. He's having things put in his heart. So, yes. Now we have proof he has one. Yes.
Wow.
He doesn't listen to this show. I could say anything I want.
I know. It's just funny.
Yeah, I know. I actually got him to play at the hospital today. I put Angry Birds on the phone. I actually got him to do like three different things Angry Birds. I went, oh, my eyes are all crosswired with this. He set it down quick. He just hates anything, you know, like that. So
right.
Yeah, that's that. Okay. I want to start south this time. Ponderosa, Sanibel. What's going on down there?
Tarpon are all over the place down there. They're not on the southern end of Sanibel the way they should be. But there is a whole wad of fish that just left the 10,000 Islands on Marco Island about 5 days ago. So we're going to see a pretty good influx of fish coming up this direction, and you should see a lot more down there in the Sanibel area within the next day or two.
Isn't my imagination a did April and May flip-flop?
Pretty much.
This is like April fishing.
Yes.
It's not like May fishing at all.
No. I'm curious to see what the next couple of weeks brings.
Yeah, I mean, June, May is supposed to be the month, mm-hmm. and June is supposed to be the other the month. May and June, big months, big fish, tarpon, sharks, everything, all there. And it has been the weirdest May I think I've ever gone through.
When was the last time we saw a cold front the second week of May? Almost a third week of May, really,
60,
technically.
I woke up, it was 60-some degrees. I'm like, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, technically, it was the third week of May.
Yeah, I mean, I've just never experienced this. I mean, even going back into the 80s, I mean, you know, the 70s, I don't remember this going on. And
no.
This is just weird. April's supposed to be windy, and nights in the 60s, days in the 80s, low 90s.
Exactly.
And now that's May. I mean, yeah. Flip-flop. I don't get it. No. Anyway, the tarpon thing is all up. It's all heated up. Everybody's still arguing, complaining out by the pass.
Yeah,
don't go there. Just avoid the whole mess. You know, stay out of, you know, Gasparilla and, you know, just stay away from Boca. It's not worth it.
Let them starve.
Yeah. Yeah, stay out of Boca Grande and go to Captiva. Fish in Captiva.
Captiva.
You can fish anywhere you want there. I mean, there's no rules about equipment or how many lines or who's fishing. You can fish in Captiva Pass. It's actually very good right now. Redfish got a few tarpon in it. But Ponderosa seems, what I would have thought, should be really good this time of year. And you're saying they're more up towards redfish.
Yeah. Yeah, they're a little further north. The intercoastal's still got a lot of fish in it. There's a lot of scattered sharks of all various sizes throughout the intercoastal there and along the beaches. Redfish and snook are still doing really, really well underneath the bushes there around St. James City, backside of Sanibel, up to Captiva. There's been some really, really good trout, too, also out there in that little bit deeper water, in that 5 to 6 foot of water range, along with a few Spanish mackerel, a few bluefish, kind of an assortment. You know, they're not real heavy numbers, but they are a little bit better quality fish.
Were you scared I had to leave you alone?
Not at all.
You weren't scared. That's
no.
I'm glad you weren't scared.
That was 15 years ago.
Being lonely. You've been thrown in the deep end so often, it's like wading through the shallows.
Yep. So. It's not quite as bad as swimming through Boca Grande Pass, but I think I can handle it.
I don't know if I could.
They asked me the other day when we were out there fishing if I was given $1 million, free and clear, $1 million, and I had a pool noodle, would I swim across the pass right now?
Absolutely.
Not a chance.
I'd do it in a skinny minute for that amount of money.
That's what they all said on the boat, but no.
No. For me, I can tell you, I know what it takes to earn that. And that's like if they said, you know, you're going to fight the heavyweight champion for, you know,
yeah, but you can run for him for a while. You can run for a little while with that. You can see that coming.
Oh, no, they didn't say I couldn't prepare myself.
It's the anticipation.
I get a shark suit, and I just swim across. So I got to spend, you know, $100,000 on a shark suit. I'm making $1 million. I got a $900,000 profit. I'm all good. And I'm armed.
I don't think that shark suit's going to hold you.
And I'm armed.
I don't think that shark suit's going to help you.
I'm armed. I don't care.
Now you really look like a tarpon, all glittery and shiny, silvery, swimming along there.
Mm. Well, I'll make it black so I look like a seal.
Perfect. There you go. Nice. No, I don't think so.
I still would. Nope.
Coming up a little bit further up through the intercoastal, even if you come up through Matt Lachey has been really weird. It's been a lot of little sharks and quite a bit of trout, especially down in the Indian Fields area.
Yeah.
But that's about it. There's a lot of juvenile tarpon on the Cape Coral canals.
A ton of redfish.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. If you go south of Matt Lachey and get just off the main channel in that idle zones back there, that slow zones, and there's a lot of fish there. The water's still cold. Now, in a month or so, there's going to be no oxygen left there. They're all going to be evacuating that area. But right now, it's just moderate temperatures, absolutely loaded with fish. Come up north to the Indian Fields, good supply of redfish back there. And cut bait, thread fins, greenbacks if you can get them. But cut bait will work, shrimp will work.
Yeah, ladyfish and shrimp have been working superb for the guys everywhere with the redfish. Even the snook have been taking some really good cut bait.
Yeah, you get up around Two Pines, you've got some nice redfish up there. You got some good snook activity still going on. Going over to Boquilla, it's been really nice. These moderate temperatures are just keeping that flat loaded up.
Yeah, I mean, there's bait. There's an assortment of fish from pompano and Spanish mackerel trout. A lot of small to moderate sized sharks, some snook. I mean, just kind of a mix.
And you jump outside of the sandbar there at Jug Creek Boquilla, you got a ton of big snook out there. There's a lot of fish out there. The tarpon are just out from there. Between Jug Creek and Boca Grande Pass, some of the best tarpon fishing that I've been hearing about.
Yeah, yeah. All those fish have been first thing in the morning at first light, showing up in the pass and staying anywhere from an hour to 2 hours in the pass, and then boogieing right up inside, and they're going from the north side of the pass all the way down to, what's that, Mondongo?
Yeah, Mondongo down there.
All around that area, all through there. But they're staying up in like that 15, 17 feet of water range.
Yeah, they like a little bit of depth to them out there.
But the cool part is that this year so far, they've been breaking up into about 12 to 15 separate schools of 100 to 300 fish. So instead of having 50 boats in one or two groups of fish, they're kind of scattered around a little bit more. So you're only having to compete with anywhere from 2 to 10 boats. Which isn't bad in the relative scheme of things. If you're real diligent looking around, there's a lot of little wads of fish breaking off from those all the way up to Cape Hayes.
Now, out in front along Captiva, Cayo Costa, Sanibel, what's the tarpon along the shoreline, along the beaches?
Sporadic, but most of the better concentrations of those fish moving up, they've been basically Boca Grande and Captiva.
Okay, now...
Cayo Costa.
Cayo Costa, right.
The majority of those fish are right there along the beach. They aren't showing a lot of fish up along Inglewood Beach, not a lot of fish south of there on the beach. They seem to be sneaking on the inside and coming up rather than staying on the outside.
So, we're talking Lemon Bay would be good tarpon fishing.
Mm-hmm.
I guess down to, Pine Island Sound and...
Right.
Pretty much that whole intercoastal stretch would be good tarpon fishing.
Right.
That would be a good way to try your trick with the bomber. Take a 16 bomber, take treble hooks off, put the butterfly jig hook on there, the one on the little string, put it off the back split ring,
mm-hmm.
and just use one hook. Don't replace them both with a single hook, just the back one, and troll those along the intercoastal. It's got to be good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what I'd use for my second bait. I think maybe a 3/4 ounce rattle trap or something that go a little bit deeper, bright colors. Chartreuse seems to be the best one to go with right now.
Yeah.
But there's either that or a bait buster on the other side.
Yeah, that's probably what I would do.
A bait buster on one side, the bomber on the other.
Yeah.
Yeah, or a swimming mullet even for a little more depth. They're a little heavier.
Yeah.
But anyway, so trolling along the intercoastal is going to be good, and you got a few other varieties of fish along the coast. We still got a lot of snook along the beaches. tons of snook. If you want to fly fish for them, you're not sure what to use, stop by and these silly jigs, the banana jigs that have that little single hook with the mylar the feathers teaser. On them, the teaser, put that on a fly rod, great for, I mean, pompano, headed, snook, permit, all these fish right along the beaches. If you want to use your fly rod, right now is a great time to do it, but you're walking along the beach, knee-deep water, make sure there's nobody behind you, and then just cast in front of you right along the shoreline, parallel to the shore, a little bit out, and then back parallel, out and parallel. You got to kind of fan cast, but as soon as you do 2-3 casts, take walk 10 steps forward, 2-3 cast, 10 steps forward, 2-3 cast, and then work your way back. Because those fish are going up and down the shore. None of these fish are staying in one spot.
No, so they're moving around a lot.
They're all looking for something. Those little snook that you'll be playing with there, the 20 inches to 30 inches, you know, figure 15 to 30 inches. Those are a lot of little males there looking for females. So they're going up and down looking for the next girl to get together with. And the pompano, they're all, or permit more than pompano.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of permit out there.
Yeah, a lot of juvenile permit around. Even out on the reefs, there are more juvenile permit. They're running in like that 5 to 10 pound range. Not any real, real big ones offshore either. Which, that could change any day, but they've been consistently smaller than normal. And out there...
Well, they're catching them all the way up here to the 41 Bridge.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not...
I mean, what's up with all this? I mean, I have no idea what's going on. Once again, it's a surprise to me.
It's all a surprise.
I have no idea what's going on with all this. It's making me crazy.
Yeah.
I used to know the patterns.
But it's kind of cool because, I mean, it's better... I mean, even though we talk about how miserable we would be in a bait shop up north where you got, what, 5 species of fish to choose from all year round. Here we've got 30 species that alternate all year round and then some. And even that to us sometimes gets mundane because we've got it figured out to an extent where we have a rough idea to educate people.
Did have it figured out.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
And now it's all new again. I mean, so we're having to relearn everything.
It's kind of cool. It's kind of challenging us a little bit. You know, we're having to...
Challenging you. I mean, I'm locking myself in a dark closet going, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on.
Well, and I don't, but we've always lived vicariously through a lot of our customers and a lot of our captains, and now we're starting to learn all over again the way they are, too, and it's kind of nice in changing things up. It's frustrating as all get-go, but it is kind of nice to break it up a little bit.
And I know people are a little frustrated because you're not hearing a lot of the radio fishings, but... We are doing changes. We have new boards, new equipment. We're going to be hooked up to the phones pretty quick, so we're going to be able to take phone calls from on the water with the captains, get you more live updates and live reports. I figured as long as everything went down for a little while, I'm taking this time to get all new equipment, and we've purchased new boards, phone hookups. We got all kinds of cool stuff coming, and radio fishing is going to be a mega monster. It's going to take a lot of time every week because... We've just got a lot of stuff in the works for this little program of ours. And thank you all 16,000 of you who are tuning out, whatever you're doing, I don't know. But
turning on.
Yeah, turning on to it. Okay. So, anyway, back to along the beach as we did.
Let's go offshore.
Okay, what's offshore?
Offshore has been ridiculous. Ridiculous.
I thought you were going to go, well, offshore, that's when you get offshore.
Yeah.
That's away from the beach.
Well, the weather finally broke, so the wind has laid down significantly.
And play hooky Thursday was a huge hit. A lot of people played hooky.
Including
a beautiful day. I tried to go out. My boat broke down within a quarter mile of the house.
That's not good. That's a bummer.
Yeah, this is just what I've come to expect.
I know. Well, I went out and didn't catch a single fish. Got to look at a lot of fish, but I didn't catch a single fish. So.
You went out on a Moat Marine expedition.
Yeah. Yeah, we had one species in target, and it never materialized. But it worked out good for a kid from the beach, because as the doc, Dr. Uter, was leaving to get into his truck, he saw a kid fighting a shark from the boat, or from the shore, and stood there for 45 minutes watching, and it turned out to be a 12.5, I think, hammer. So he was able to get a tag into a hammer that day and release it. And so that kid was super, super excited. Bob was super, super excited. So it worked out that day for him.
Gee.
You know, it worked out well.
Yeah.
Know? We didn't get to accomplish it, but they accomplished their goal for the day and got to tag at least one hammerhead. So it was nice.
It's crazy. This shark fishing from beach, shark fishing from the land has turned into a huge, huge deal.
The thing is, though, that these guys got to remember, as phenomenal as it is, it's still like any other shore fisherman. Take the time to pick up your crap.
Pigs.
Don't be slobs. I mean, out
you
there
pigs,
on Boca.
You dirty slobs.
Out on Boca, those guys need to get yelled at, slapped, kicked.
And then kicked
chased
out.
Chased off the beach forever. You know,
I
you
think
just, they should
be
not be allowed there
penalty
at all.
Times.
Absolutely.
If you leave cups, you
fishing
leave
wine, glow
fishing
sticks,
wine, anything laying on the beach, 6 months you don't get to come back on your first offense. Second offense, you're done.
I just think it should be a you're done, period.
No, I think the first time, you know, give them 6 months where they're not allowed back. And just go, listen, we're serious. And then the second time, you just never allowed back in a state park. Ban them from the state parks. If you cannot keep a state park clean and you think it's somebody else's job, your mother doesn't work there, by the way. You know? So
right.
One time, 6 months, you don't get to return. And let's just start enacting some fines. I'm sick right. And tired of the garbage on the beach.
Absolutely.
So.
But offshore, there's kingfisher still doing pretty well at about 15 to 25 miles. Few oddballs in closer. Lots of sharks out there. A lot of bull sharks. Bruce the other day got a 12-foot tiger on Thursday. We went out to a shrimp boat to try to get bonita and some fresh bait before we came in, and when we pulled up to the shrimp boat, they were unloading their bycatch, which is absolutely crappy to watch.
It's amazing to see how much dead goes on with those things.
Holy mackerel.
It makes you sick to your stomach.
Never personally witnessed it from a full-blown standpoint. Anytime I've only seen it one other time, and it was basically their last scoop of crap that they had thrown over, so it was all a lot of little stuff. This guy was cleaning pretty good for a good hour, and the trigger fish and snapper, I mean, it was crappy. But the bull
people
sharks
don't realize how bad shrimping for food is. It's really bad.
The bull sharks were sick. At one point, there was literally 30 bull sharks underneath our boat. 30 of them.
Wow.
7 to 9 foot, every one of them. It was, I actually personally got a little nervous. Just a little uneasy feeling in my stomach. I always get excited. Nervous, excited, but it's always...
Well, they haven't learned that there's food on the boat yet.
Yeah,
if they ever learn there's food on the boat, then I'm going to get real nervous.
As stable as that boat is, as safe as I feel on a boat, it just gave me a very...
Heebie-jeebie.
Yeah, I mean, it made me very uncomfortable. I would truly admit that I was...
Heebie-jeebie-jeebie.
Kind of wiping out for a minute. There's no doubt about it. It was cool, but wow.
So, a lot of sharks out there.
The bonita are scattered everywhere out there, but they're blitzing for a minute and then totally disappearing. Red grouper, gag grouper, 25 to 35 miles, phenomenal. Been a few blackfin being caught. Guy came in the other day, he caught two little chicken dolphin while he was trolling around the Bay of Ronto.
Wow. That's not that far out.
The mangrove snapper bite has been sick. I mean, just phenomenal. In the passes to like 15 miles offshore. Unbelievable mangroves, like 1 to 4 pounders consistently.
Yeah. You know, I thought I had done a redo of the tarpon jig, and now this thing is going to be one of the hottest grouper rigs to go.
Yeah.
I mean, adjustable weights and hooks and everything else. I'm getting some tube bodies to take them out and try them, because... Forget the tarpon thing. This is a great little grouper rig.
Yeah, I think it'll be pretty interesting to see.
And one of the things I want to try it for is trolling. When the grouper come in just a little bit close this winter, I want to try trolling these modified, you know, rigs for the tarpon and for grouper. And I think the tube jigs are going to grow great on them, and the squid skirts. You know, just revamping them with a couple of different skirts, and then I think this is going to be a monster hit. I think
absolutely.
It's going to really go good, because it's hard to get standard heads to be the weight you want them, and, you know, with the tails you want and all that, and be able to do this and just modify it as you go. I mean, you know, grouper snapper rig, this thing's going to be great.
Absolutely.
But, now, how far out, you can go right to the passes, Captiva, Gasparilla, and get your snappers.
Unbelievable.
Mary's, Trembly, Power Poles, all these near ones. There's nice fish on all of them right now.
Very quality snapper. I mean, pretty much every reef, take your pick. You know, chumming is real good right now. I mean, so chum with your bag frozen chum. Even if you're feeling real saucy, buy the glass minnows or the silver sides, dice them up.
Amazing how many glass minnows we're selling right now as chum for out there. Mm-hmm. Guys, just my method is I put them in a 5-gallon bucket with some water. And then I just take scoops out and throw a handful here and a handful there. The hardest part about chumming with them is waiting for the first ones to disappear
right.
before you throw the next ones. It doesn't need to be rain.
Right.
You know, that's the hard part.
I like to kind of mash them up a little bit in some play sand, too.
Yeah?
Gets the water a little cloudy, makes them a little less leader shy and hook shy.
There you go.
And it just also, as it dissipates through the water, it's collecting some of the oil off of those glass minnows and kind of creating a little slick throughout the whole water column.
Now, if you took that one step further, how about some of that dry powder chum that we use for whitebait?
Mm-hmm.
If you took some play sand, glass minnows, and that powdered chum, and like two parts glass minnow, one part sand, half part the powdered chum.
Absolutely.
That might be a nice mix.
I think so, too.
So, anyway, coming back in, Bull Bay, Turtle Bay. What about Placida, the trestle?
Placida's been incredible, especially at night. The snook have been really good. There's been some bull reds, a lot of small to moderate-sized sharks, a few oddball tarpon. During the daytime, they're still getting a few sharks, oddball cobia, still some snapper there, a few trout. I mean, it's been kind of a mixed bag. I mean, obviously we're on our toes with not knowing exactly what's going on. One day you're hearing guys getting permit and whiting, the next day you're hearing about mangrove snapper and snook, and the next day it's bonnet heads and whatever else. So it's a good mixed variety, but it's, you just never know from one day to the next what's the most consistent catch going on out there.
Yeah. Well, if we're going from there, we ought to look at Bull Bay. I don't know why, but for some reason I'm not hearing as much about Bull and Turtle Bay as I did a few years ago.
Right. I think there's a couple reasons. Obviously, right now, this time, you got so many people out there that just got tarpon on their head that they don't care about anything else. You know, that's all they want.
All the captains right now are trying to get tarpon trips. Well,
exactly.
There's more money in it.
There's more money in it. It's just a little bit more exciting and different because we get to target the reds and the snook kind of all year round. Then the tarpon turn on and move in. So it breaks up the monotony of the year.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed doing the tarpon trips when I did them, but I got to tell you, I like that backcountry. I really do. I enjoy the backcountry, I think, a little bit more.
Absolutely.
But Bull Bay, from what I'm hearing, has got an explosive snook population in it right now.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of snook in there. The drawback to it is that these guys still got to remember to take the time to resuscitate the fish. You know, you got to take the time to resuscitate them. If you're back there catching them, just take the extra 2 or 3 minutes to get those fish moving
right.
and flowing.
Bang. Okay. Anyway, on the islands between Bull and Turtle Bay, still a lot of snook. Once you get into Turtle Bay, we're looking at a little more redfish, a little less snook, until you get right out by the mouth, and then there's the snook are just thick out there.
Yeah, the deeper cuts there, Gallagher's Cut and the main entrance there.
Yeah, there's a lot of snook there, big snook. Mm-hmm. A lot of little snook right up along the beaches. If you're looking for the bigger ones, like when you come out of Turtle Bay, you've got the deep cut. Outside of those sandbars is where those big snook seem to lay. Behind the bar, between the bar and Cape Hayes, a lot more smaller snook. There's a lot more snook there, but they're smaller. That's more the younger ones. The older ones are on the outside of the bar. And then if you go out to Cape Hayes Bar, you've got a lot of fish out through there, just kind of all over the place between shark and... Is the mackerel still out there? I've been sick the last few days.
They're out there, but they're so scattered and mixed up out there, it's a pain in the butt.
Yeah.
It's kind of, don't target them, but be excited when you get into them as an incidental bycatch.
Yeah. I haven't checked the river, but I don't think the river's flowing.
Hasn't rained at all. I'd highly doubt it's even moving a drop.
Yeah. It was on its way back down, so... checking the Peace River kind of gives me a better idea because I understand the water flow in that. Oh, yeah, we're down to just over a foot, not even a foot, half of water in Arcadia. So the harbor's going to be nice and clear. It's a good time to get on the west side of the harbor because you're not getting that influx of fresh water. The water's going to be cleaning up, getting real nice salty. All those little creeks and stuff, great place to go hunting redfish. oddball snook and stuff in that transition, trying to get out to the Gulf, maybe too lazy to make it all the way back out. Who is that?
I think that was my sister.
Oh, your sister?
Mm-hmm.
Hi, sister.
Right.
So, anyway, there is Myakka River. How's that been doing? A few days ago, everything was still going on hot there. The sharks, the redfish, everything was still going there. Tarpon.
Mm-hmm. Been real good up there. There's a lot of cobia still mixed up there. Shark, few tarpon, snook and redfish. I mean, you kind of covered it. I mean, it's been a very good...
Still staying pretty consistent.
Yeah, still a very good hodgepodge of fish, but definitely consistent. Even over in the Tippecanoe area, there's been the same amount
of
fish.
I'm hearing that word more and more and more. I think people are finding out there's a whole bay up there that is accessible, not as crowded, and on its way into getting a lot more traffic because people are finding it.
Right, exactly.
Now, the Myakka cutoff a week ago, lots of redfish. Anything changing?
They're still in there, but it's been... I think because the wind laid down, a lot more guys ran south this past few days, so I didn't hear as many reports in the last couple, 3 or 4 days about that.
So,
you know, I think it was so windy this last 2 weeks that a lot of guys stayed kind of closer to home in a little bit more protected water.
Right.
And basically they left fish to go find fish.
Well, that's kind of normal. You know, if you're up north, there'd be a lake and you have a lodge on one side and a lodge on the other. And the guys from the lodge on the west side would go to the east side to fish. The guys on the east side would go to the west side to fish.
Absolutely.
I mean, you paid all that money for that boat and motor. You got to use it.
Well, you pay all that money for a boat and motor, and those guys in a lake run around the lake, and they're still casting 5 feet off the shoreline.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, well, I agree. I don't want to walk that. I'd rather sit in the boat.
Yeah.
It's nicer.
No, I get it.
But anyway, if you're coming up into Port Charlotte and the canals, I haven't heard much about the canals.
They've slowed way down, way down. I was talking to a guy last night. He always fishes behind the house in his little canoe, and he's been going down to the mouth of the canal there in front of Grassy Point and then over there by Port Charlotte Beach. And he said he's even having a hard time. The only thing he started to pick up on now is the sand bream.
Oh, sand bream picking up.
The mangroves slowed down for him. The little redfish and trout kind of all started to peter out a little bit. He's still getting a few, but he's not catching anything consistent like he was the last couple of weeks.
Right. Now, looking up, I guess that takes us from the... Let's just do PGI. We kind of left off down at Two Pines. What's going on the east side?
East side, down around from Two Pines, Burnt Store. That entire shoreline there's been really, really good snook, a lot of good redfish. Just on the outside of the bar, there's a mixed variety of sharks of all different sizes and flavors. The tarpon are still kind of scattered out there too, not real heavy yet. Moving up to Burnt Store to Pirate Harbor, even just north of Pirate Harbor, is probably one of your most consistent places for bigger redfish. There's been some good redfish just on the back sides of the islands and even up in some of those creeks a little bit more. Some mangrove snappers still pretty heavy there around Hobbs Point and right at the entrance into Pirate Harbor, right on the edges of those oyster bars in Pirate Harbor. Juvenile tarpon are really good inside Pirate Harbor right now. Lots of bonnet heads, a few oddball trout out in front on the flats around the ice house area. No bait at all to speak of. There is bait out on the beach, but it's tiny, tiny fry. Don't throw a cast net on it. Let it grow up and breed once.
Now, getting up around PGI, to me, I know there was a lot of jacks there, but I haven't heard much. A lot of Goliath grouper working in the harbor this year.
Yeah, well, I think it's that time of year, too, where a lot of those big adults know it's time to start moving out because they're anticipating the rain and the fresh water. Because all of their food sources are starting to leave. So a lot of those bigger goliaths are going to start moving out, and you're going to start seeing them more out in the center of the harbor and on the reef itself.
Okay. I guess that brings us to the Peace River. And I haven't heard of much.
Been quiet. There's a few guys getting some juvenile tarpon and even a few bigger tarpon up there between the power lines and the 75 bridge.
Right.
A few black drum moved in around 75 the other day from what I heard, and a lot of sugar trout. Other than that, that's about all I've heard, even all the way up towards Shell Creek, which can usually be fairly okay for the juvenile tarpon sporadically. Haven't heard of anything. Not even a redfish.
Well, once I get my boat actually running, we'll be able to get a few more reports from up there.
Right.
But anyway, let's see. I guess that's about it. Any good advice for somebody?
If you want to do the tarpon and the shark thing, if you're looking for, I don't care if you're looking for smaller sharks or larger sharks, and the tarpon, basically, if you drew an imaginary line from Cape Hayes over to Burnt Store, from there out to Boca Grande, is the best that you will see right now. It's phenomenal.
I would say try and get between, on a line between Bow Bay and Jug Creek, or Turtle Bay and Jug Creek.
Sure.
And they're up to the pass. To me, I'm a little bit further out.
Well, and I agree with that, but there's so many little balls of tarpon up there a little bit further that nobody's sitting on.
There you go.
So you have the tarpon up there, you're going to have more of a one-on-one shot with them rather than having 5 to 10 boats on each little nut, so it's kind of nice.
Well,
you have to work a little bit harder to find them, but they seem that there's been some good groups of fish following that tide line that's right along there.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, I guess that's going to do it for this radio fishing, and hopefully you go out and have a good time. I think if I was going to take a boat out, wanted to do a little bit of traveling and just look for the most varieties of fish, I'm going to still go with Cape Hayes. But if you don't want to travel very far and you're on the upper end of the harbor here, I'd look to Hog Island Tippy Canoe for your best redfish. Nice, quiet fishing, not a lot of boats, not a lot of activity. And not quite as many fish as what you're going to find in Turtle Bay, but you're going to find a lot less other people there. And it sounds to me like it'd be a nice, quiet, good way to spend the day, just going along casting the shoreline.
Absolutely.
So, anyway, this is Fish and Frank, Robert in the chair across from me. And we're going to try and get some shows up. Like I say, we got a lot of new stuff coming up, radio fishing. We're going to be taking phone calls on the water. Just got a lot of stuff, trying to get all the equipment back up in order, and we're going to get on a regular schedule. And I guess that's about all we got for today. So, say goodbye, Robert.
Goodbye, Robert.
Goodbye, Robert. We'll see you guys on the next one.